How many of you have been captured by the grace of God? Captured by the grace of God. About 2 months ago in a deacon elders meeting, we prayed a crazy prayer. JD, I'm not sure I'll pray it again, but I've learned a lot since then. And the prayer was, Lord Jesus, help us learn to love as you love. Now I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever pray that prayer if you don't want to see things and think ways that you absolutely don't think. Here's two things I've found. Where I thought I was free, I was still bound. And I know this verse better than ever before in my life. Jesus says that my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I have found that my thoughts are always tainted with me. Anybody else got that problem? And so I got to scream out to God and sing what we just sang. Lord, I need to be captured in your grace. And I'm just going to learn more about grace. So I don't know about you. I'm still learning about grace. I'm so polluted by religion that I'm still learning about grace. Because you see, they grew up telling me what was right and wrong. And I need to know what is righteous and what is holy and what is powerful and what is almighty. And I got to learn from Jesus about that. Amen? Well, let's pray together. Lord, capture us. That's the word today. Capture us, Lord. Lord, there's so many times we just want to do it our way. And you say, not our way, but your way be done. On earth as it is in heaven, you said. Lord, this morning I pray for Israel. I pray for my brothers and sisters in the First Covenant. Lord, I pray for the conflict in the Middle East. And I pray, Lord, that as believers in a wealthy nation like America, that, Father, we would begin to plead and live out Jesus Christ in such a way that we would be a nation that does not punish, but a nation that captures people with the power of your grace. Lord, I pray that spiritual power be released in the Church of Jesus Christ all over the place. Lord, I pray for Bowling Green. It'd be a place that captured people in grace. I pray in the name of Jesus that every distraction, every toyish and childish behavior from the church be shut down in this era. And we get about the business of loving one another. It's in your name we pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to deal with one of the third elements of experience today. We've talked about the power of worship and how we need to stay in the power of worship. We talked about the freedom that comes from worshiping. Last week, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of Jamie, didn't he, Dr. Ward? And the Lord moved in him, teaching us the power of what? Prayer. Church, we got to be a praying church. And in those prayers, you know what? We got to pray that the Church of Jesus Christ start making a difference in the generation it finds itself in. That's one of my prayers every morning. Lord Jesus, help us make a difference with what you are doing today. Not tomorrow, but today. And I think sometimes in our lives, we live in what God has done and what God will do, and we miss what God is doing. Have you all ever done that? You're looking forward to what's going to happen so bad that you miss what is happening today. God tells us, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and do what? Rejoice in it. I will work the harvest in it. Well, what does it mean to relate? Now I want you to understand something. For those of us that claim to have received grace, knowing that our sins are forgiven, that means we now live in the power of the resurrection. Do you understand that? What we used to be is gone, and the potential of what we can be in Christ is activated. So we no longer have this excuse. This is what I should do. The reason is I can do now because of Christ. You understand that principle? I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. Why? Because now I am under grace. Now I have received the power of the Holy Spirit. Now all things are possible to those who believe in Christ. Everybody understand that concept? Now, if I had that going on in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I was the devil, what I would do to the church is tell them constantly they don't have to activate what they have. Because if I was the devil, worship services wouldn't scare me. But worship, if I was the devil, some of y'all might think I am, but if I was, I wouldn't worry about a crowded worship service. In fact, what I would do if I was the devil, I would tell to get them a big crowd, just don't tell them the truth. I'd tell them to get a big crowd, and I'd tickle their ears, and I'd tell everybody they're special, and they're warm, and they're fuzzy, and all things are possible, and I'd just keep everybody in the house. And then I'd get them all into worship. I'd get them all just going on, and as long as they kept it in the house, I'm safe. But the day they start relating and loving one another as Jesus Christ has loved them, then my kingdom will be weakened. Jesus knew this because you know what he told us? He said, they, the world, people that are around you, they will know that you're mine by the church you attend, right? Is that what he said? They will know you're mine by the denominational affiliation that you have, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? They will know you're mine by what is your favorite teacher and what are your favorite Christian books at the bookstore, right? They will know you're by mine whether you speak in tongues or don't speak in tongues, right? Isn't that what he said? Man, y'all have read the book. He said, they will know you are mine by the way you love. Now, I won't tell you why. There is one thing that cannot be imitated or mimicked. It's the love of Jesus. You can't imitate it. Now, what you have to do is you have to sell a pure, mediocre version of politically correct friendship. But you know what about politically correct friendship? You know it ain't love, don't you? How many of y'all know it ain't love? People ask me all the time, they go, how come we're all in this political correctness? I said, because we don't love anybody. See, when you're family, you don't have to be politically correct. I mean, I pick on my brothers and sisters all the time. Why? You can't pick on them, but I can because we're what? Absolutely, we're family. We're in love. I pick on my wife. Why? I'm not politically correct with my wife. Why? We're in love. I want her to see the real me. I want her to live with what I am, not what everybody wants me to be. I want to be the real thing. And when we come to Christ, the power of grace is God allows the reality of life to come right into us. While we were yet sinners, not when we cleaned up, while we were still sinful, while we were still far away, God loved us anyway, came and died for us in a powerful way, arose from that grave and declared, there's now hope for humanity. That's real. And because of that, we get to relate different. Amen? So I want you to line us up. First thing, all things are possible to those who follow Jesus Christ. How many of y'all got that? Come on, work with me now. How many of y'all believe it? You believe it?
Yeah.
All things. Not some things, all things. So since that's true, how many of y'all got a relationship out of order in your life? You know, it's just a disgruntled relationship. Anybody got any of those? I'm a pastor, so I have a lot of those. Yeah. Huh? Anybody got a relationship just disordered in your life? Well, guess what God wants us to do? He wants us to love people in our relationships. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 15, and he gives us some instruction. Now, I got to put a warning on this sermon here. In fact, you better be careful. If we start living like this, the world will start changing around us. Okay? How many of y'all probably feel like that in our worship and in our prayer, we need to build healthy relationships and we probably need to lean a little bit toward peace? What do you think? Israel is throwing bombs right now. Let me help you. Israel throws bombs a lot different than America. If you've been keeping up with the conflict that they've entered into, they don't spend a lot of time talking to the UN, and they don't spend a lot of time on CNN, and they don't spend a lot of time on Fox News, okay? If you've ever read the Bible, when they go in, they just get her done and say, you can take a picture after we're done, okay? Huh? And here's why. When you're a little old small nation, and you're surrounded by about 450 million people that would like to push you off to the Red Sea, you don't have time for a whole lot of negotiation. Hmm? And so we need to pray for what? You know what I'm going to pray for? I want to pray for the realization of Jesus in the Middle East. I'm not sure we're ever going to get peace in the Middle East. There's never been any since my lifetime. That's a short lifetime. And if you really look at the history, there's always been conflict. But guess who needs to be in the center of the Middle East? He's been there once. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus' hometown is a conflict this morning as I preach the Word of God. Yeah, and that puts in perspective, doesn't it? We need to pray that we, as people who follow Jesus, could be an example of healthy relationships. Does that make sense? To me, if the Church of Jesus Christ has faltered in America in the last 50 years on one thing, it's the main issue. We don't tend to love people like we ought to love people all the time. Would you agree with me, or am I off base? Come on, work with me. Give me a little noise here, okay? Y'all aren't a silent church. What do you think? I mean, am I in line here? If not, I'll go to another sermon. Am I in line here? Huh? I think that's one thing we hadn't done real good. You know what I mean? Or at least it's what. Let me tell you what your pastor hears in his office. Pastor, I feared church all my life because I went to a church and they snubbed me. Or I didn't feel like I had enough money to go to that church. Or I didn't feel like I fit in. Or I feel like I was too big of a sinner. I want to tell you, Hillview, there's one door that God has opened up in this church that's kept it going. One door. It's not a multiple door. One door. And that is to open our arms to all types of people and say, you come and hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we've opened our doors for everybody to come and do whatever they want to. It means this. Everybody's welcome to come and encounter the love of Jesus Christ so they can do what Jesus wants them to do. Does that make sense? But everybody's welcome. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or who you are. It matters who you know. How many of you are beginning to get that peace? And I've seen a lot of people flinch at Hillview. They'll see, you know, in fact, Jamie told the craziest, funniest, but true story from the baptistry the other day. The guy said he was getting baptized. He'd come to a real encounter with Christ. And Stevie said, well, I sit in the drunk section at Hillview. And I was wondering which section that was, because there's probably more than one. And he got to tell him a story. He said, no, he said, here's what happened. He said, one of our friends that we used to drink all the time together, he got saved. Then another one got saved. Then another one got saved. I am the last of our gang. And this morning I'm getting saved. Now, let me ask you a question. How did that happen? Did we pass a motion on the floor of our church that we don't want anybody to drink? Or did the love of Jesus just go get a hold of some folks and they got some new spirits? Huh? That's the way it works. Amen? How many of y'all have ever traded in some spirits? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, though. We already know. Yeah, well, watch, we trade in a lot of things, but here's what I'm asking you to trade in today. We get all hepped up about drinking and smoking and all these kind of visual things. You know what? I don't think that's a problem. Problem is we don't love like Jesus Christ loves. You know, it amazes me that Jesus didn't preach about half the stuff we do. And he's the Son of God. If it was important, why didn't he bring it up? Huh? In the same vile, despicable, detestable debauchery of today was going on then. And he didn't run around with a protest sign protesting the sin. He stretched out his arms with a love that nobody else knew about, a love that came from heaven, a love that was ignited by the power of grace, and he died on the cross and redeemed everything that was killing us. That's the way we ought to relate. So with that in mind, you've got to have Jesus to relate like Jesus. Everybody good? Let me, you will not do what I'm fixing to read you unless you are saved. Don't try to fake it because then you're going to be miserable. Being nice is not always being loving. Please write that down. Some of y'all need it. Being a nice person doesn't always mean you're a loving person. Being kind of a curt person doesn't mean you're unloving. How many of y'all have ever had an old codger in your life that loved you to death but didn't act like it? Let me tell you what, I'd rather have that old honorary codger that loved me than somebody that spoke sweet nothings in front of me but didn't love me. How many of y'all had that old school teacher that you couldn't stand while you was in school, but after you got older, you loved more from her than anybody else, and you learned more from her than anybody else? You know why? She loved you. How many of y'all were fortunate enough to grow up with some parents that loved you? I have that in my life. Both of my parents loved me. They loved me so much they would tell me no. My dad loved me a couple times that he warmed my little tushy up so that I wouldn't do it again. You know what he was doing the whole time? He said he loved me. I said, you do not. You wouldn't do this. Guess what? Guess what I found out? He loved me because he disciplined me. Guess where he got that? Right here in the Bible. He got it right here in the Bible because the Bible says God disciplines those he loves. And those he doesn't love, guess what he does? He just lets them go. We started football this week, and we got some new players. We got some freshmen. You always get freshmen. You know, that's always fun. And I was having to encourage one and love one. And one of the seniors looked up and said, "Hey, you're all right. He likes you." He said, "We've been with him a long time now. If he's yelling, you in good shape. When he says nothing to you, you ain't playing." He was giving him what? The lineup. About halfway through the practice, that kid said, "Man, he loves me too much." See what I'm saying? But I want you to do well. I want you to relate well. That's what God wants us to do. Now let's go to Romans 15. Y'all getting the groove today? How we love shows if we truly know the cross and the resurrection. I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, we got to come to this conclusion. Even what we do good still stinks. Now, I'm not being a depressant kind of guy there. I'm just telling you, my goodness can never equal God's greatness. And you got to start there. You got to surrender. And you got to say, "Okay, God, I'm not going to do it as well as you can do it. So instead of me trying to do an imitation, I'm going to surrender and let you work the full power through me." You see, we need a church that becomes conduit, not instruction to God. So through worship, we become the conduit of God's love. Through prayer, we become a conduit of God's movement. Through relationships, we become, I want you to write this down, Jesus' touch. In worship, we become the adoration of God. In prayer, we become the power of God. In relationships, we become the touch of God. Jesus will touch you. If you don't believe me, ask the leper. Jesus will touch you. If you don't believe me, ask the woman at the well. Jesus will touch you even when the world has proclaimed you are untouchable. Yeah? So here's the way we ought to act. Romans chapter 15. Paul's writing to the community of Christians. Guess where they're located? Romans. Rome. Rome is a metroplex. Rome has the high technology of the day. Did you realize they could flush their toilets in Rome 2,000 years ago? We hadn't managed that in some parts of eastern Kentucky today. I mean, these guys were what? High tech. They were the group. They remind me of somebody. You know somebody else who's got a lot of gadgetry and a lot of technology, a lot of economic wealth, a lot of law, a lot of government, a lot of high upper crust kind of things going on. Y'all know a nation kind of like that? Well, Paul's writing to this nation in Rome. He's writing to the community of Christians right there in Rome, in the high energy place, the metroplex, where the new and stylish things are coming on. And here's what he says to them. Chapter 15, verse 1. We... That's those who've surrendered to Jesus Christ, who are strong, ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, you better underline that. You better write. How many of you all think you live not to please yourself? Raise your hand if you think you live not to please yourself. Good. At least we don't have any liars in here. This is the hardest thing that we combat in America, is we all live to please ourselves. This is why our religion gets all thrown off. As soon as we start following Jesus, watch this, we start thinking, "Well, I didn't get this, I didn't get that, this didn't happen to me in worship, I should get this." We've turned Jesus into a commodity. That's a no-no. He's an experience. I hear people walking around going, "Well, we're shopping for a church," and I think, "Oh my gosh, how much more are we going to pervert God's happening?" You don't shop for a church. This ain't Walmart. This isn't Dollar General. This isn't Kmart. This isn't Kroger. This isn't Houchins. This is Jesus! And He's not for sale. We want to find a church that pleases us. What? I want to find a church that pleases Jesus. I want to have a life that pleases Jesus. I want to have a moment that pleases Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Here's the way we all got weaknesses. How many of y'all would agree we all got weaknesses? How many of y'all got some strengths and you got some weaknesses? If you go to a job interview and somebody asks you about your strengths, what are you able to do? You can always tell a person when you ask these two questions, any of y'all that employ people, tell me your strengths. All right, tell me your weaknesses. That's a deceived individual. Look at your strengths. Look at your weaknesses. Look at them honestly. We all got both. Amen? Now, here's what we want to do in Mary Poppins' relationships. We want to concentrate just that we have all these strengths and we never have to battle with these weaknesses. Well, we got to battle with our weaknesses. But guess what? Jesus, where I am weak, a little song, remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That little song taught me when I was a little kid, where I am weak, He is, there you go. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of those who are what? Weak. Well, here's those who are weak, those who just started living in the faith. Here's the way you get strong in Jesus. Just hang around Him a long time. You've been through adventures. You've been through failings. What's our job is to not please ourselves, but make sure others get better around us. Do you hear that in that scripture? Not to just please ourselves, but others get better around us, okay? I'm going to give you just some clippets today. First thing, relationships in Jesus Christ, who I'm relating to, ought to get better because they're around me. And so this is how you know you're out of line. Well, I don't like so-and-so because they won't do this for me. Okay, see how your thinking's already touched by sin because what's your main agenda? I'm going to relate to Alan because Alan's going to do something for what? Me. And we work people all the time. Let me tell you what, in the church is the largest group of passive-aggressive, manipulative people that I've ever been around. More so than in the world. The world will just tell you to go to hell and go on. I like that. I know where I stand. I like people like that. No, I don't like you. I can take that. We're dealing now where we're dealing. Jesus did that. Did you notice that? Jesus called religious people a brood of vipers. That's not a good comment. And He wasn't saying you're sharp like snakes at that time. But you know what He told them? He said, you're manipulative. You're sneaky, you're a little con artist, you're a little passive-aggressive religious people. You want to look good on the outside, you stink on the inside, you try to impress men, and since you're trying to impress the world, you're not pleasing God. God is more impressed with those who are in rags pleasing Him than those who have the right look with a thwarted heart. He's not pleased. He wants to be pleased. Now watch. Where we are weak, He becomes what? Strong. We who are strong, we who journeyed, we bringing people up, man. So number one thing about relationships in Christ, people ought to get better because they know you. And people ought to know more about Jesus when they know you. You got it? Well, it's a simple stuff, but it really works. What if we did that as a whole church? You hang around with somebody who goes to Hillview Heights Church, you're going to get better because you're hanging around that person. What if we just made a covenant agreement that whoever's around me is going to get better? And it's about a heart. Man, a lot of you got that here. I love being a pastor of Hillview Heights Church because you all got heart. Heart. You know, I see people put in the extra mile without being asked. You know what that's called? Somebody knows Jesus. See, they've already read about Jesus. And watch this. Here's what Jesus said. What about when He said, and if they ask for your cloak, do what? Huh? Give them your coat also. When He said, walk a mile, what did they say? When the Roman soldier commanded the person on the side of the road to walk 1 mile with him, by law, they were obligated to do that. What did He say? Walk another one. Boy, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. How far have we fallen from God's original intention and relationship? Can you imagine Jesus going home when He got tired? Reckon Jesus was busy? Reckon Jesus was stressed out? You know, He just got a whole cross thing to look forward to. You know, probably a little stressful. But did Jesus ever cease to love people? When He loved the woman at the well, He was dead tired. But you know what? He understood what Paul was teaching here. He was stronger, He was bigger, He was more graceful, and He was willing to help those who weren't there yet to come and be what they could be. I just think that's the way we ought to relate. What do you think? Now apply that to your family. So that means we got dads helping their wives and mom and dad together helping their children and children helping their siblings and people going to school helping one another and people going to work helping one another and people are getting better when they get around us. What do you think that might cause? Thank you, Carolyn. There it is. There, look, we hadn't called the crusade truck in. We hadn't spent 14 zillion years and praying for a great awakening happening. What if we just went and lived it out like Jesus lived it out? Do you think some people might get curious about what's inside of us causing us to want them to be better? Hmm? It's See, that's available to the church. In fact, that switch has already been flipped. He's just waiting for us to live in it. Amen? Is that mine or yours? Is that mine? Good. I'm going to share it with you. Second verse. Now look what he said. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. What is one of the attitudes of those that follow Christ? I want you to be built up. Now listen, this is a tough thing. We all got it on it. Guess what? Here's what most of us say. I want my house built up, and to the heck with yours. Just be honest, huh? I found out all this family concern we got about families. I have finally found out that family concern is only my family. And if my family's all right, my wife's all right, my husband's all right, and my children are all right, then I'm committed to family. Let me help you. That's not Jesus' view of family ministry. Jesus wants every family to be all right. Jesus is concerned about Lebanese families right now. He's concerned about Iraqi families right now. He's concerned about Iranian families right now. He's concerned about Afghanistan. He's concerned about places we don't even know about. Jesus is still moving up and down the streets of Africa as people are dying of AIDS. Jesus is concerned about human beings, and he wants us to be concerned about human beings and make a difference. I'm telling you, the number one thing in America that avoids us from wonderful relationships is we live to please ourselves. And it is so tough. I wish I could tell you that I wasn't guilty. I'm guilty. I've lived to please myself. How many of y'all have lived to please yourself before? Oh, thank you for being honest. The rest of you are so self-consumed, you can't even raise your hand. Isn't that amazing? It's just who you are. It's not even a sin anymore. It's what you become. See, when sin becomes normal, that's when it gets real bad. When sin is the expected norm, that's when it's done its deceptive work. And I want us to get a conscience to really look and say, wait a minute, am I pleasing me or am I pleasing God? Can I even please somebody else? You know what I mean by that? Lift somebody else up. Encourage somebody. Hillview, this is what we ought to be about. Amen? Am I making sense today? We're in the Word of God. We've got two verses down. How many of y'all are hearing this attitude? I got to go extra mile. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you automatically done this? Well, if we go the extra mile, I'll be weary and I'll be tired and I'll be kapooped. And where do we get that? Where do we get that, brother? We didn't get it out of the Bible. The Bible never says one thing about stress. That's Dr. Laura. And she won't die for you. That's Dr. Phil. He's got some good advice, but he ain't going to die for you. I tell you that right now. Y'all know Oprah ain't going to die. She ain't going to die. Huh? She got 25 houses. You imagine Jesus coming to earth and having 25 houses? However, there are still preachers in the United States that live like Jesus. I'll give you one. Dr. Rick Warren. Lord blessed him with a great book. He made great money. Anybody know what Dr. Warren did with his money? I'm going to tell you because it needs to be heard because everybody's always picking on people that do well in Christianity. Here's what Dr. Warren did. He reimbursed the church that he pastored, Saddleback Community Church in Saddleback, California. He reimbursed them for 21 years of his salary. Paid them back in full. How many of y'all would do that to your business after you hit it big? And he lives on a reverse. He gives 90% of his resources to the work of God and lives on 10. Now, he can do that. But here's what I'm saying. He took a great blessing from God, and what's he doing with the great blessing? He's blessing others. He's passing the blessing on and not just glorifying himself. He still drives a Ford pickup truck. It works. He's got it. It's not about me being glorified, but it's about Jesus being glorified in me. That's what God's trying to lead the church to. Does that make sense? So look what we ought to do. Excuse me, I thought scripture was up there. Put the scripture back up there. But watch this. Let's look and get the attitude of Christ in our relationships. That's what I'm talking about today. Living not to please ourselves. People ought to get better because they're around us. Look at this. Bear with those that mess up. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Now, guess what this means? Does this mean having people over at your house all the time? No, because that wouldn't be to their what? Good. See, Jeff, we're so messed up, we think codependency is healthy. We do this in relationships. Watch this. I've had people in my life, they want to hang around with Pastor Steve. You don't want to hang around with Pastor Steve. Ask Elizabeth. She's been assigned to it. See, here's your all's problem. Y'all only see me under the anointing. She lives with me when the anointing comes off. And she stays because she loves. Well, watch this. This ought to be our attitude. This ought to be our attitude. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. I want you to get better. I want you to do what's right. Guess what? Sometimes good is this. No, I'm not going to do that because that's not for your good. Sometimes firing you is for your good. What do you think about that? Let me help you. If you go to a job somewhere and you don't do nothing, you loaf all the time, you don't get it done, and somebody fires you that's a Christian, they did you right. Because guess what they did? They told you, this is inappropriate conduct. This doesn't get things done. This isn't the way you ought to move. This isn't the witness you ought to have, and I'm going to do something for your own good. But boy, when you got to do that, they'll raise Cain at the moment, won't they? But it's really for their own what? Good. See, pleasing people is not just making sure people like you. It's bringing them things to their own what? Good. Ms. Wofford, as a guidance counselor for a couple years, did you ever have to tell a student some things they didn't want to hear? Why did you do that? Because your heart's sweet as it can be for their own good. Like if I'd have gone in to see Ms. Wofford and she looked at my transcripts and I said, Ms. Wofford, I've been praying to God and he wants me to be a rocket scientist. She would have looked at my transcripts and known that God did not want that. She'd have had two. Either the boy hadn't applied himself, but then she'd have looked real deeply at those transcripts and realized he didn't have enough horsepower to be a rocket scientist. So guide me into something that I can be what? A blessing in. Does it make sense? We're about done. Look at here. Third verse. I want you to get an attitude of Christ in our relationships. For even Christ did not please himself. Now, what are you going to do with that as a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you just blow his scripture off? A lot of us just want to blow us off. Say, oh, Pastor Steve, just hauling off on this. Don't please ourselves. It's really not important because we live in America and we need to please ourselves. And the Christian bookstore's got a whole bunch of books in it about pleasing themselves. Well, yeah, it does. Why? It makes tons of money so they can please there. It's not about pleasing yourself. There are too many places in the New Testament that he calls us to get beyond ourselves and in the flow of him. This is one of many. For Christ did not please himself. Look what he did. But as it is written, he says this, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. He says, you live differently. And what they say about you, you don't worry because I'm going to catch that. When you love people that aren't supposed to be loved, don't worry, I'm going to catch that. When they say those people aren't right, don't worry about that. I got that covered in the blood. I mean, y'all glad to be covered in the blood. I got that covered. Now, would Jesus know about relating and loving people and people not loving you back? The insults of those who have insulted you have fallen me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of Scripture, we might have what? Hope. What does Scripture tell us today? Help one another out. Those who've been through it, guess what? Don't just go sympathize. Go energize to a point of change with the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, don't worry about it. This should not be our first question. What's in it for me? What if we just took out what's in it for me and started asking this question, where is Jesus in it? Would that change some of the decisions we make? Especially those of you that are dating. I think it's highly recommended that as you're dating, you find Jesus in that relationship somewhere. And if you can't find him, I don't know how you're going to have a holy marriage without him. Because going to church sure ain't going to make it holy. You'll fight on the way home. You better get Jesus what? In there. In that job interview, who you need to be listening for? Jesus. I've had some job interviews. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know. How many of y'all have to employ people? Got a few of y'all that do that. Yeah. I've had people come and guess what their first question is? Vacation. How many of y'all that's happening to you? Debbie, that's happening to you? Their first question is, how do I get out of what you want me to do? Can you imagine that being Jesus' first question? Kathy, you've interviewed a slew of people. You ever heard that? It's changed from those who are in midlife and those who are coming in the workplace, isn't it? I mean, come on, let's deal with the real issue. Y'all get off. This is real stuff. I consult with businesses and stuff, and guess what? They ask me this question over and over. I said, Pastor Ayers, what are we going to do with these young people? They don't want to work. And I said, well, let's hit the root of the problem. Why do they not want to work? I said, it's not that they can't work. It's that they've never been taught they're not supposed to please themselves. I said, when they were 2 years old, you as parents put them in a little room and gave them everything they wanted. So why do they think the world has changed all of a sudden? They don't. They don't think you're an employer. They think you're a dad or a mom. Try discipline. It's the first time they've had it in 25 years. A consequence for an action. Oh my gosh. Why? All stems from this one heartbeat. Don't please yourself. Please God. It'll lead you into the freedom we were talking about in worship. It'll allow you to hear what Jesus has to say during prayer. Listen, if you don't get beyond yourself, you can pray all you want, but guess what you'll always hear? What you want to hear. I can always tell when I'm praying out of line because I hear what I want to hear. And when I'm hearing what I want to hear, guess what I know? God's speaking, but I'm filtering. How many of y'all have ever had God speak, but you filtered? I'll ask people, sometimes they'll tell me, well, God said, told me to tell you this, which I get a little leery right off the bat since we got one prophet and I don't need prophets anymore since we got a high priest. And here's my problem. I don't have a hard time hearing Jesus. How many of y'all have a hard time hearing Jesus? Lord, I can hear him clear as a bell. I just don't like what he says. Is that honest enough? I can hear God. I can hear him clear as Moses heard him. When I'm in a relationship and I need to behave myself and I need to be loving and not pleasing myself, I hear Jesus screaming, you need to love them. Well, Lord, you know what they've done? And guess what Jesus says? Yeah, love them. But Lord, they've done this to me. Oh, Stephen, ain't nobody beat you with whips yet. Stephen, haven't you learned that my grace is sufficient? Haven't you learned? That's how powerful relationships are. It's the whole extent of the gospel. Now watch this. We'll give you the guarantee and we're out of here. 8 o'clock, you're good at this too. How many of y'all realize at 8 o'clock y'all are doing this stuff? Come on. Which is, you know what? A lot of baptisms happen during the weekday. Why is that? People are out and about doing ministry. I'm going to ask you to do something. Some of you are really getting Hillview. Guess what? I'm not impressed that you can quote me Bible verses. That does not impress me. You know why? Because I deal with demonic reality. And demons can quote Bible verses. It's not impressive. Can you live them? Because demons can't live them. They can't love like Jesus is loved. And the love of God can't be imitated. Look at here. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. Where will our unity come from? Jesus. Y'all remember, some of y'all were here at 8 o'clock. Remember when we had to go to two services? Donna and Brenda remember this. What was everybody telling Pastor Steve? It'll break the what? Elizabeth, you remember this. What would break, when we went to two services, what was going to happen? The unity of the church was going to fall apart. You know why? Because that's a false unity. We will not unify ourselves. How many of y'all? Listen, if you've been married for more than 3 weeks, you will know you cannot create unity. That's why God lets us get married. To learn what relationships must depend on who? God. If you go to a school classroom, what do you find happening in the school classroom when human beings get together? Hey, buddy. Is there automatic unity? No. Unity comes from Christ. What do you think? Anyway, it comes from Christ, doesn't it? So if we go Christ, guess what? If we stay in Jesus, it doesn't matter if we have 10 services or 2 services or 1 service, the unity will be in who? Come on, talk to me. Who? Christ. Amen? That's why when I go to another country, guess what? If I meet a Christian and they're true about their Christianity, bam, we're automatically a brother or sister. It's pretty cool. It's like riding Harleys forever. See, I never could get this. You can ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, and no matter where you are, if you ride a Harley and you meet somebody else that rides a Harley, you're automatically their friend. I think that's the way it's supposed to be in Christ. When somebody says, hey, I'm a Christian, you're not supposed to go, are you conservative, liberal, moderate? Do you read out of the King James, the NIV, the American Standard, the New American Standard, the New Revised Standard that was revised again, and now it's the New Revised Standard? Which teacher do you follow? Are you under Kay Arthur? Are you under Jimmy Swaggart? Are you under Jim Baker? Are you under Rick Warren? What if we just said we're all in the blood of Jesus? We've all surrendered to the power of the cross. We're all united by the power of the resurrection. And we all flow from the same Holy Spirit. Wonder if that would work. You know, some of us stand up and dance a little. Others of us fold our arms and contemplate the majesty of God. Some of us get down on our knees and quote litany. Others of us read from the common book of prayer. Some of us wear bells and whistles. Some of us just spit it out. Some of us have correct grammar. Some of us just preach and it happens. And you know what? God loves it all. And God wants it all to be encouraged and all stimulated and all brought to His glory. Have we made any sense today? Yeah, well, I got to give you the platinum rule. Look what he said. May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of a unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Let me lay it down. You won't know unity till you follow. Please hear me. You won't know unity till you follow. I learned this a long time ago, and I just want to share it with you. You will never know the truth till you take a step into the truth. You can go to all these seminars and all these conferences and all these classrooms. You can go to Bible college and you can go to seminary and you can go to some more seminary and go back to Bible college and go to five more conferences, and you will never know the heart of Jesus till you follow Christ. And I've always found this. When we are working together in relationships, there's always unity. I found that on the mission field. When you get in the mission, you don't have as much distraction. Let me help you. Professors argue a whole lot more than missionaries do. Missionaries, man, when they're in another country and they're trying to get the gospel out, they could care less if one speaks in tongues and one doesn't and one knows. Those issues fall to the side, and it's about getting people to experience Christ. Amen? Cool. I'm done. I'll leave you with the platinum rule. You ready? Mr. Lawson, you ready for the platinum rule? Back before Christ died and rose again, we had the what? Golden what? Golden rule. Y'all remember the golden rule? What was the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I don't want to live by that anymore. Especially in this corrupt generation. Amen? So here's what we were saying. You live up to your relationships on your standard. Some people are still under the golden rule. Jesus, though, however, over there in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. Check me on that, Tim. 34th verse, I think. You know me, I'm not good at quoting. Here's what Jesus said. You've heard it commanded, love one another. And now I give you a new command. Did I do it? We are under an anointing. I have given you the correct address to a scripture. John 13:34. He said this. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Here's what I've discovered. Even when I was still a sinner, Jesus loved me. Even when I did the wrong thing, Jesus loved me. And I have found this in ministry. A loving heart goes further in the kingdom than a knowledgeable mind. So how you know that, Pastor Ayers? I've read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says that I can fathom the mysteries and know the things of angels. So it says those are possible. But if I have not love, it amounts to nothing. So guess what I found moves it forward? Loving people. Some things we're going to have to do in the fall. We got more people coming to church. Y'all okay with that? How many of y'all are okay with there's a lot of new people coming to church? All right? I got to get some help from you. All right. This boils down to not pleasing yourself. I got to talk some bottom line stuff to you. It just boils down to not pleasing yourself. We're out of room. We're just out of room. We're gonna have to pick it up a little bit on this building thing and get her done. All right. I don't know any other way to tell you. We got a lot of new people in September. I'm going to kind of do the State of the Union of the Church so you can see where we need to go on this building thing. You all know me. When it comes to raising money, I'm real simple. It costs this much, and we can start when we get this much. Is that fair enough? Because here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to take gospel time to talk about money every Sunday. Does that make sense? I just don't know how to do that. To me, things are simple. If something costs $6 million, guess what you got to have to get it? Good. I'm real simple. You know, we can't get Jerry Clower to come do a fundraiser anymore because he's up in heaven. He used to do all these fundraisers for churches, and I just laugh. I go, what's the matter with the Holy Spirit? It's really under this. We got to start moving to get some things happen. Number two, we got a lot of children coming to church, and we're going to have that much more children coming to church. We're going to need a lot of workers right now. And so guess what? I'm going to call on you men first. Men, are we in a dilemma of young boys not being around male people? Are we in that dilemma? Yay or nay? All right, now you all help me, because I'm a logical fella. Do you think God would want some godly men to be in the church leading some godly boys? You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't like that. Do you think I care about what you like? I just sat here and preached to you. We ought to live where we ought to, not what? Please ourselves. I'm going to ask y'all to make an investment in young lives. I'm talking, we need some men in the two-year-old classroom. Because that's where it starts. That's where some of y'all started. You were 2 years old, and that two-year-old teacher, look, if he doesn't go to jail, the Lord will have done a miracle right here. 2 years old, they were already calling you. Well, guess what? It's a big difference when you're 2 years old and you're only 2 feet. And Billy Lowe walks in there looking like Hulk Hogan. You know? You can even, you know, fudge a little bit and say, you know who's teaching our class? Hulk Hogan. You know what he'll do? He's going to suplex you if you don't learn that Bible verse. I guarantee you'll always remember that for life. Amen? Yeah, it's life. Listen, I'm talking to you lovingly because guess what? We're going to have to pick it up coming to the fall. All right? Just kind of letting you know some things have happened. We haven't decreased much in attendance in the summer. That's positive. But let me just help you with something. We don't have all the Western students here. We don't have everybody back from vacation. And we don't have, sometimes people just take summer off. And when it gets cool, they want to be around Jesus again. When that all comes back, what does that mean? So here's what I got to ask you to do. I love worship more than anybody. You know, I just love it. But guess what? We all just can't stay in the worship center going kumbaya. We got to go, kumbaya, come here, child. Kumbaya, teach those teenagers. Kumbaya, do that oil change. Kumbaya, head to that foreign country. Kumbaya, build those buildings. Kumbaya, make these things happen. That's why you love one another. Amen? They're going to get done. I just want to talk to you a minute. Are we cool? So we need to get some more people in 8 o'clock service so we make some more room in 9:30 service, and then we're going to have 11 o'clock service. Now listen, those are really already all full. But don't worry, you're at Hillview. We're looking right now. These things are being discussed. They're not permanent. Please do not leave the worship center saying these are absolutely going to happen. Nod your head saying, I have heard the pastor. Man, we'll light up every email. We'll crash the servers with the gossip that'll be going on, okay? We are looking at putting some extension services out there. I'll tell you when we make that confirmation. We may have to add a fourth service. Now, what's that going to involve? Yeah. And I'm not going to preach four of them because I've gotten old. I just know better than that. If I go to four now, the last time I preached four services, I was 26 years old. I hate to say it, but I was in a little better shape at that moment of time. But guess what? We got all kinds of preachers. They all love Jesus. They all flow in the Holy Spirit. We got enough preachers to preach all Sunday. And we got enough people that need to hear it. So we're just going to let God release it. Y'all cool? All right. Well, let's stand together. We'll have a time of altar. Today, I want you to come to this. I want you to think about what God's told us about today about relationships. Prayer for believers first. Altar call for believers. Those of us who already believe. I'm just going to ask you to come and guess what? This is the prayer. God, help me not be so stinking selfish. I don't know about you, but I got it. I'll go ahead and confess for you, I guess, today. Lord, help me to not love myself, but really help me see what it means to love like you love. Go ahead and pray that if you're daring enough. Please be careful with that. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, man, I hope you've heard today, He wants to love you into the kingdom of heaven, and it doesn't matter where you started, it matters where He's going to take you. And today, guess what He's asking you to do? Lord Jesus, He's asking you to tell Him this. Lord Jesus, I've sinned, but You've loved me. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me because I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, lift me up and let me know that You love me. Lord Jesus, I want You to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. I believe You died and You've risen again. That'll change your life forever. He said, oh, Pastor Ayers, it can't be that simple. It wasn't. He had to die to make that happen. Jesus had to die so you could say that. Think about that the next time you want to step back from what God called you to. And if we want to get rid of some demonic spirits, you know, you can keep them if you want to. They'll hang out with you. I'll give you one that needs to be gotten rid of. And it's, and you know, this church is kind of open, but let me tell you what, we need to get rid of it. We're ungrateful. What do you think? One of the things that just busts on our relationships in life is we're ungrateful. Man, my wife busted me one time. I'm hauling off about everything that's going wrong, and she looked me right in the eye, gave me one of them Holy Ghost wife looks, you know, zoned in on me. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, you never look at what you have. Well, I didn't let her know that day that that really affected me. But about 6 months later, I let her know that that made a difference. Why didn't I even... I knew God had nailed me through her. But guess what I did? I was still so... See, here's what comes with an ungrateful heart. It also leads to a prideful heart. So I was going to be all prideful and go, I ain't going to let her know she got me. She didn't get me anyway. Who got me? God. If you want to see this church released, I mean, we can dance along all day long. We read books, and I'm all for reading books. But you know what? Until we get rid of the real stuff that causes the problems in God's church, ain't nothing going to change. Lord, give me a grateful heart. How many of you could come today and say, God, I just want to praise You for what I'm experiencing. I could really look at this. If I look at my life and look at what God's done, I've already gotten a whole lot more out of life than I deserve. And I want what? But when I get my fleshly mind, what will I want? I didn't even use what I got. Let's come and pray, yeah? Just let God touch you. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you come on. If you need to be baptized, listen, I'm not playing with that anymore. That is a command from God. Jesus Christ said, be baptized. Now, if you think you can live this kind of faith, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to do the first thing He asked me to do. You know, that's between you and the Lord, but that's just pretty weak. It's time to get real. God is not politically correct. Politicians are. By the way, they will be judged, not judging. Jesus will be doing the judging. He loves pure hearts. He said, they'll see God. Check me. Matthew 5. Let's come. And let's just let the Holy Spirit take that stuff. Lord, as we come to this altar, I just want to pray as a pastor of this church. Jesus, first I want to confess my own sin. Lord, I am my own depravity and Lord, I thank You that You keep letting us preach and You keep letting us love and you keep letting us live even though we mess up so much. But Lord, as we kneel at this altar today, I pray for anybody in this house that doesn't have a relationship with You, that right now You would guide them to a relationship with You. Father, for people that haven't been baptized, that they would come and be say, today's the day I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to square it up. Lord, I pray right now for those of us who believe in Jesus, that we would just love one another as You have loved us. Oh, dear God. I just want to apologize, Lord, that we are so focused on ourselves that sometimes we can't see You. Lord, open our eyes and give us a grateful heart. Lord, we're sorry when we won't go the extra mile, when we won't pick up the cloak. We won't give up our own bread so somebody else might be fed. So God, help us understand your love. I just pray you begin to do that in our congregation. Amen.